welcome to The Drop, the official podcast of the 130th Airlift Wing. I'm your host, Staff Sergeant Kara Williams. Joining me today is our wing commander, Colonel Richard Switzer, and Command Chief Jeffrey King, to go over the priorities for this unit training assembly weekend. Later, we will be joined by our Force Support Squadron Commander, Lieutenant Colonel Anna Sherrod.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, ma'am. How are you guys doing today?
Great, TK. So it's March UTA. Before we get into talking about what we're going to be getting after during UTA weekend, just want to highlight a couple things with regard to current operations. So we have MGFE, that's the Mission Generation Force Employment. That's our first operational deployment as a J model unit. Those folks will be coming back in on Thursday, just ahead of UTA weekend. So we probably won't see most of those folks through the weekend. We'll pick back up with them and over April UTA. We also want to give a shout out to the SERV-P, who completed yet another successful mission at the national level in support of the State of the Union. They're always ready to go, obviously. They have a very important high-level national mission that they prepare for regularly, and they do great things. And no news is good news, so everything went off without a hitch, and they did just as we would expect them to do. So great job, the SERV-P and all the personnel that supported that.
And Colonel, while you're talking about deployment too, just a quick reminder that we have RCP-08 still continuing their training and possibly out processing, so that'll be one of our priorities too, is just make sure they're ready to go whenever they're heading out the door.
Yeah, it's a great point, Chief. I think with everything that's going on in the world right now, it's a good reminder to all our airmen, the folks out there and the civilian side that support our airmen, to remind ourselves about OPSEC and the things we can and can't discuss, especially when we have changes that impact our ops tempo or our flow of personnel outbound and inbound. So we just remind everybody, be mindful of your social media presence and the things that you say out in the general public, because we want to maintain that operational security. And then moving ahead to the things that are going on this weekend. So for the first time in a while, we don't have a whole lot of changes of commands or promotions, but we do have one retirement, Major Jill Hickman, who's currently assigned to the Air Medical Evacuation Squadron. She's going to celebrate her retirement this weekend. Looking forward to joining Jill and everybody and recognizing her for an outstanding career. She's worked in a number of roles throughout the base. She's been an outstanding supporter of multiple units, a very intelligent, experienced individual. Fortunately, we're going to get to retain her for a little while longer on the technician side, but she's had an outstanding military career, so hats off to Jill as well, and looking forward to celebrating that time with her.
And Colonel, before we get into our big two movements that I think you're going to talk about here soon, put a request out for the family readiness. In June, we're having Family Day, and they're taking requests like, what would we like to see, like with the food trucks or any kind of event. So there's a QR code, I think, Family Readiness put out on their flyer, but you can also use that CAT code that's around the base. If you want to submit a request, they're taking those. So use that QR code and give me your thoughts.
Yeah, so we're going to do Family Day this year on Saturday of June UTA and probably kick that off around 1400. Community Action Team is going to basically chair and be the lead. But we are looking for folks from all the units to help support in that planning and execution. So if you're interested in that, you know, work that through your leadership, and I'm sure they'd welcome you to the planning team. And we look forward to that great event over the summer. Have some time to fellowship with each other and give our families some time to come up here and see all the great things that the unit does, and spend some time on base having some fun activities and just continue to build that camaraderie and fellowship that we strive to have here at the wing. For March UTA, we've got two big muscle movements, as the Chief said. The first one is we have our annual March Medical Madness event. So this is where we're going to accomplish all the ground physical health assessments. So that's basically the majority of the base. Anybody that's not in an occupational specialty that they would do otherwise, like flight physical, everybody will be doing that. And the med group's done a lot of work leading into this, and the wing at large has done a lot of work, because everybody's got to complete all the prerequisites to be ready to go for that event. So that'll kick off probably on Friday, I think, with some of the early stuff, and then that'll continue through the weekend, and we'll get that knocked out. And then we're going to move on to, really, we've already started it this week, as Colonel Sherrod joined us from the FSS. She just completed her diagnostic fitness assessment. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, but that's the other heavy lift this weekend, is we've been talking about the changes to the Air Force fitness standards, and the way we're working that at the wing is we're going to give everybody an opportunity to complete diagnostic assessment this week and into the weekend, just so they know where they stand with the new standards. And we'll let Colonel Sherrod here talk a little bit about kind of how the process is going to go, and and how we've engaged the PTLs and the units to help facilitate that. Because it's a pretty big undertaking to get everybody at the wing, get their assessment knocked out. So if you want to share a little bit of that with us, Colonel Sherrod, go ahead.
Sure, sir. So we had our sustainment section, actually, Senior Master Sergeant Jessica Mullins put together a whole plan for the weekend on how we were going to get all of our people tested. So each PTL, each unit has a specific time. We have some different areas where you can take your PT test that we were able to get certified in order to do the 2 mile run. So everybody has a schedule. Everybody knows where, when they need to be there. And we're going to be able to knock out the whole base this drill weekend for their PT test.
So for everybody, it'll be a diagnostic. But if you do well, or if you're due for a fitness assessment score and you want to update that, you can certainly do that this weekend, right?
You can, sir. Yes. So if you get a score that you like and that is a good score, you can go ahead and make that an official test right now, which I think is pretty awesome. So if it's a good test, you might as well go ahead and take it as an official. And if it's not something that you want, wait till September when we do it again and get your official test then.
Yeah. So the goal for us this weekend, one, is to give everybody an opportunity to execute the new fitness assessment in a diagnostic manner, so it doesn't have to count if they don't need it to count. Now they can get an opportunity to, if they haven't done the hammer run before, there's a few locations to be able to do that, especially if the weather doesn't help us out. And then also with the increase to the cardio component in the 2 mile run, we've recertified that area up there at the top of the hill so that they can do that and look at where they stand on the 2 mile run.
Yep. Yeah. And I would like to say thank you to FSS because they took feedback, I think, from the wing, and they did recertify the 2 mile track up on the old taxiway, and they put a new hammer section up in maintenance. And that was all because of the wing feedback. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Just so if anybody doesn't know, we do have 3 hammer locations, outdoor hammer locations, and we do have an indoor hammer location as well. So we have plenty of opportunity for people to get their test accomplished this drill.
Yeah, so rain or shine, we're going to knock out these diagnostic assessments this week and going into UTA weekend, and we've got multiple locations to do that. And really, it's just a part of getting the wing on the same calendar so we can have these 2 big muscle movements in the spring and in the fall. This year, we'll do March and September, and with the goal of ultimately returning time to the units and to the airmen so they can continue to focus on AFSC training. But the standards have changed, right, Chief?
They have. They definitely have changed, and it's a big time to see where we stand with those new changes.
And we will be tracking that, so we'll be tracking people's scores this month, and then we'll be able to see where they end up in September. So it'll be kind of exciting to see, like, where they started with the new PT standards and where they're going to end up in September when we actually do the official. So.
Yeah, awesome.
How does the updated components better reflect the physical demands of the real-world Air Force mission compared to the previous PT tests?
I think the PT components, you know, they speak to, I think, the stamina, strength, and staying healthy long-term that airmen are facing. You know, when they go on deployments, they're working long hours. They're working 12-hour shifts. They got to have the stamina to do that. Fire department, security, aerial port, just to mention a few, they got to have that strength part of it too, right? Because that's a physical part of the job. And overall health, I mean, you got to be healthy and got to be ready and available to go. So I think that's what the new components are speaking to and what airmen are facing in today's reality.
Yeah, and in some ways, I think, you know, like the increase with the run from a mile and a half to a 2 mile component is just more in line with the other services. So I think that's a reflection of the direction from Secretary Hegseth at the Department of War. Just have a little bit more alignment with the physical components, even though the services have different physical requirements. So I think that's reflective in the way that the Air Force has approached this. And I think our model by, you know, obviously we've been talking about it for a while, right? And now we're getting folks an opportunity to get out there and know where they stand with the new components.
So how does prioritizing health metrics align with the DOW, Air Force, and TAG's goals of building a sustainable and resilient force?
So I think the word that you hear most often from the Secretary of War on down to include the TAG is about increasing lethality, and General Seward also talks about survivability. So we have a host of health challenges within the state of West Virginia. You know, it's not a surprise to anybody if they go out and do a quick Google search that there's a lot of barriers, not just to health access, but to healthy living and healthy nutrition within the state. And for General Seward, as much as it is about lethality, it's also about survivability and just having a healthier force. And I think the chief touched on that in his first point is like, you know, if you're not healthy, if you're not fit, then obviously you're not going to be ready to go. And we want our airmen to be healthy and fit, obviously to execute the mission, but also just so they can have, you know, longevity, not just in their career, but in their families and their life and all that stuff. And so I think that's another part of the changes to the metrics that just give us a little bit more data for folks to be able to reflect on and see where they stand.
Yeah, and I think another way maybe looking at it, it's our personal health, but it's also helping our teammate. Like, we owe it to each other to be healthy for when that time comes. If we need to be healthy and use that strength and stamina, we're there for each other. It's part of the wing concept, I think. So I think that's another way to look at it.
I think a good way to look at it, too, is it's not just about your physical fitness, but, you know, if you have a force that's physically fit, it's also going to help with their mental resiliency, which is going to be a huge thing if you're in a wartime environment. You know, so the healthier you are, the more mental resiliency you're going to have. I know for me personally, I work out a lot to help with my stress and anxiety. So the healthier I am, the better I am to handle other things as well.
Yeah, there's a ton of science out there, right, that talks about all the different things that happen whenever you get a good workout in, or you just get a workout in general, whether it's, you know, sometimes mine aren't that great. So, but you definitely feel better. You feel better physically, feel better mentally. And I think to your point, Colonel Sherrod, that really just rounds people out. You know, we talk often about the four pillars of comprehensive airman fitness, and the physical pillar is just one of them, you know, also mentally, emotionally, socially. And I think they're all tied together, which makes that model for the Air Force one that makes sense for a lot of people.
So, as leaders in the military, we're talking about fitness and we're talking about taking care of our bodies. How do you make time to prioritize your own health and fitness? How are you fitting that into your schedules? You know, that's something we hear a lot. It's busy. We're all busy. So how are we prioritizing that?
Well, I'm sitting in between two of the most consistent people I know when it comes to fitness. So I think I'm going to let them start with this one, and then maybe I can talk about some of my own challenges and how I've been able to overcome that. So.
Okay, I think I'll start. And I think Colonel Sherrod and I have maybe the same kind of mindset on this. So I always say that I can control my mornings for the most part. I can control pretty much when I go to bed the night before. I can control when I get up. The more the day goes along, the less control I have over my day. So that I prioritize my fitness in the morning, and especially the last past year, year and a half. And I've seen great results because I get it done. And I have extra time throughout the day. Like, if something does change, I already have my workout in. But if it doesn't change, I still got that hour, and I can do something later in the afternoon. Colonel Sherrod?
Yeah, same for me, actually. I didn't think I was a morning person. And then I started getting up about 4 o'clock every day to work out, and that's my time now. And so I get up in the morning, I work out, and then I get to use my hour a day if I have time, which most of the time I try to make that time. I carve out that time. I try to find someone to work out with here on base. And so, you know, I might find an airman who's struggling with push-ups or sit-ups and work out with them to help them with that. Or I might just go walk with somebody to get to know them a little bit better, you know, kind of build that, those relationships on base, show, like, build trust with them, show that I'm here to support them too. So I just, for my hour, sometimes I just find somebody that wants to work out with me, and we go work out together. So I think that's really important as a leader too.
Yeah, for me, I think being consistent has always been kind of a challenge. I've always been kind of an up and down person, especially when it comes to fitness. So I've had my shares of struggles with trying to get that stuff done and stay after it. So I think one of the key components for me, besides just trying to manage all the things that we have to do at the wing and the roles that we're in, is having some accountability. And so, and you have to lean on other people in order to help you with that accountability. And so the chief's pretty good here. You know, he knows, because we share our fitness on the Apple Watches, and you know, which is a great tool because it gives you instant accountability to yourself, but also it lets your teammates know whether or not you've actually gotten the work in. So there's been more than a few times where the chief will come in and say, hey, you know, you haven't gotten that work in today. Maybe you ought to get out there, take a walk, take a run, get up to the gym. So that's a big part of it. And then I would echo what both of them said, you know, kind of getting it done earlier in the day really is key, because the days do tend to get away from us. There's things that always come up that drive changes to our schedules. So just being committed, having that accountability and consistency, and doing it when you have the time to do it and making the time to do it is the key.
Awesome. So what kind of programs does the 130th offer airmen who are trying to prioritize that fitness. You know, sometimes we're not really sure where to start.
So I think we can talk about a few things there. I think, you know, Chief's been putting on weekend workouts, we'll call them. You know, we're going to forego that this weekend because everybody's taking the diagnostic assessment. But, you know, we've been doing those group workouts each month since the Chief came down to the wing, which has been great. We've seen those numbers increase over and over. And a couple of the things that Colonel Sherrod's going to talk about, you know, in terms of they're not specific programs, just upgrades we've made to facilities and equipment, I think that give our airmen more opportunity to work out.
Yes, sir. So we actually were able to receive some additional money last year, and we were able to buy quite a few new gym items. So gym equipment, we have some new cable machines up there, new benches, another stair climber, which people love that for some reason. We also have a dedicated cardio room. We were able to purchase new treadmills, new ellipticals. So that's been really nice to have the two separate sides to the fitness facility. So we have plenty of opportunities for people to be able to use the equipment, work out. We also have another hammer location that the chief talked about earlier up at the top of the hill. So if you wanted to practice the hammer, you could go up there and practice and then head over to the gym and lift some weights if you wanted to. We do have a certified nutritionist in the FSS that puts on our fitness improvement program every drill for people who are struggling with their fitness. And she has built a fantastic program, but she's also there if anybody ever wants to come down and talk to her. We have that capability. So we have a lot of things that we can offer people. All they have to do is just reach out to the sustainment section, let us know what they're looking for. She could come talk to your units if you wanted. We have a lot of opportunities for people to work out around the base. And we're going to start replacing gym equipment every year. We're going to come up with a schedule and see how we can like just continuously upgrade the gym equipment that we do have and make it better for our airmen. We're always open to suggestions, you know, and anything that people need or want, you know, come let us know.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like if people are out there struggling and they don't know a way or need to ask questions, just come and ask. We'll find a way. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you that we have somebody on this base that can help with maybe putting a fitness routine together if you need to, or we definitely have a nutritionist that will give advice. So yeah, if you're struggling or just interested in something, just, you know, ask. We'll get you the right resources.
Yeah. And then the West Virginia National Guard has a full-time nutritionist that we're going to be meeting with here in the very near future to just talk about some programs that she might be able to help us out with. But overall, I think the wing is trending in a great direction with not just improving the facilities and equipment, but just access to that. There's lots of places where you can do things to make yourself more physically fit or just have the opportunity to work out with each other. You know, we've got, for as small a footprint as this base is, we've got several places. You know, there's a small gym in the maintenance complex. We've got the main gym up on Commando Road in 107. So the two rooms in there, the strength and conditioning room and then the cardio room. So there's definitely places for folks to work out.
Excellent. Is there anything else that we wanted to cover?
Well, I think just in closing out, you know, I always like to just thank the wing, all the airmen of the wing for everything that they do. It's not lost on us, the commitment to serve and to be a part of this organization, especially one that operates at such a high level. It takes a lot. It takes individual airmen's time, their commitment. It takes the leadership throughout the wing between the officer and enlisted ranks. And everything that we've watched over the last several months, regardless of what the task has been, it's just been amazing to see how people step up. And even just in the recent weeks with changes to deployments and changes to taskings and things like that, the emphasis on folks being ready to go has been outstanding. It's exactly what we expect. You know, we've been talking about fitness and this weekend and everything, and that's one part of that puzzle in keeping that premier level performance where it needs to be. And so I'm just grateful that people put the time and the effort into being ready to go.
And that's going to do it for this episode of The Drop. For more information about the 130th Airlift Wing, visit us on the web at 130aw.ang.af.mil. Also, you can find us on all major social media platforms. Lastly, you can see us in the skies, delivering freedom with courage. This is Staff Sergeant T.K. Williams reminding you to stay ready to go.